If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info and odds. This is G. Hay Wiley from the Arash Marakazi Show telling you find all of the latest sports developments, including this week's odds for the Masters Championship and the start to the Major League Baseball season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering needs, including live betting, which is dangerous, but my favorite, and your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's super easy to get started, so join today. Learn why everyone is saying BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on popular sports and games. BetOnline, guys, where the game starts.
This is the Arash Marakazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello on a beautiful Friday, and welcome to the Arash Marakazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas, and the Sports Map Radio Network. I'm joined, as always, by producers G. Hay Wiley and Armani Buckets. How are we doing on this glorious Friday?
It is Friday, so it is glorious, and I'm so excited that this week is over, but I'm excited. I'm looking forward to the weekend, first and foremost.
It's going to be an incredible weekend. NBA playoffs are officially starting tomorrow. I don't know why they don't consider the play-in game a part of the playoffs. I think that's kind of silly, but it's going to be four games Saturday, four games Sunday, so I can't wait.
Yeah, so like I think you would say it's part of the postseason, but the playoffs would be, you know, seven-game series or something along those lines. But I'm very excited about this. But,
yeah. I feel like this is Armand's, like, Christmas right now.
It really
because,
is.
Yeah,
this is,
you, like,
this is
the
moment he has been waiting for. All right, with that said, let's get to today's headlines brought to you by Circa Sports.
Well, the Dodgers beat the Cincinnati Reds 9-3 last night at the Dodger Stadium home opener. Wonderful blue heaven. Freddie Freeman was showered with chants of Freddie. And the Dodgers showered the Reds with six runs in the bottom of the eighth to break a 3-on-3 tie. Arash, you were there. What do you think of the Dodgers home opener and Freddie Freeman's first game in front of the home fans in LA?
Listen, I think it was fantastic. Freeman said he was emotional. He's from Southern California. So to get those chants, obviously, considering what happened a year ago and really recently, you know, he's been the star player of the Atlanta Braves. So for him to come home, a homecoming for Freeman, to be showered with those chants of Freddie, that was awesome. And again, it was a 3-3 game in the bottom of the eighth, and then the Dodgers really came through with six runs. Fantastic game. Nearly a sold-out crowd, as always with Dodger Stadium. Traffic was a mess. Parking was a mess. Lines at the concession stands were a mess. But listen, when you finally got to your seat with your Michelada and your Dodger dog, it was a fantastic atmosphere, a sign of things to come. You know, tonight they are back. The problem with tonight is you have two exciting games happening in Los Angeles, and we'll touch on that momentarily. But you know, you got the Clippers down the road at the crypto.com, and then you have the Dodgers back on Jackie Robinson Day playing the Reds. But it was fantastic. Excited to be back at Blue Heaven on Earth, and excited to go back with you guys at some point.
Yeah, no, I mean, I love going up there and being with the people, but it's like anything. It's like, you know, a restaurant opening. Like, they're going to get the kinks out eventually, right? Like, so...
I think traffic and concessions line stands will always be a problem at Dodger Stadium.
Well, parking and that will always be an issue.
Yeah. Yeah. But here's the thing, you know, it's a 55,000 seat baseball stadium. Like, when we went to Petco, I think it was fantastic because I don't know what the capacity is there. Far less, perhaps even half. So, but listen, when you finally get to your seat and watch the game, it is fantastic.
Well, yeah, and also if you're comparing Petco to, you know, Chavez Ravine there to Blue Heaven, it's totally different, right?
That's because, what I said. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no. I'm saying specifically because you, when you get there, you're like part of the downtown area. There's nothing really in
Chavez. That's the exact same. So I always had wished that the stadium was a part of some kind of mixed use where you could spend the day there. You could go to the hotel, drink, walk to the, like, you cannot do that. It is up there, and they've tried to make the, like, around the stadium somewhere where you can hang out pre and post game, but quite frankly, people don't want to hang out pre and post game there. They want to have fun, go to the game and leave. And that is why the location of where the stadium is the reason fans leave, because you do not want to be stuck in that traffic on the way out. It is the worst thing. Well, yeah. I mean, it was the absolute worst thing.
Yeah, and it's like right by somebody's home, right? So, like, you're in a residential area.
I do have to ask, Armani Buckets, have you gone to a game? I know you're not a baseball fan. Yes. Okay, so
been to Dodger Stadium plenty of times. I think in comparison to other stadiums in California, I think just for a vibe, I don't know why I feel this way, but Petco Park would be my favorite.
It is my I'm not a Padres fan. I am a Dodgers fan. I will say Petco Park. From a variety of levels, just the location of the ballpark, the food options. They have a Din Tai Fung there. They have a wine cellar there. So on both fronts, me and Jihei both love Petco Park.
Yeah, the wine is unmatched. I'm not going to lie on that one. Well, tonight at Crypto.com Arena, the Clippers play an elimination game against the New Orleans Pelicans. If the Clippers win, guys, they advance to be the 8th seed and play the number 1 seeded Phoenix Suns in the first round of the NBA playoffs. If they lose, their season is over. The Clippers are favored by 4 points at Circus Sports. Who do you got tonight?
I got the Clippers. I'm not really confident in that pick. I do think that they will find a way to win. That, you know, this game being at home, really the way the Clippers closed out the season. I mean, I'm not going to knock them for losing a very tough game against the Timberwolves, a game that they led late. They let it slip out of their hands. But with Paul George back, Norman Powell back, Reggie Jackson, the way that this team has played, I mean, we have to remember that this team won 5 straight, 6 of 7, going into that play-in game against the Timberwolves. So I like them tonight. You know, really don't like them to have much of a competitive series against the Suns unless Kawhi comes back. And again, who knows what even Kawhi is going to look like. He's been gone for a year at this point. Do like the Clippers tonight, but would not be shocked if CJ McCollum and Brandon Ingram go off. You know, the thing about this play-in game that is kind of weird, and they may have to tweak this part, the Pelicans are coming off of a big win. The Clippers are coming off of a big loss. You know, that momentum is a real thing.
I think that I'm completely with you in the sense that I got the Clippers, but I do not feel good. If the Pelicans keep it close through 3 quarters, there's a reason why Paul George and Norm Powell came back. They could have shut them down for the season, and it looked like they might have at some point. But the thing is, this team believes that they're at least a playoff team. So to not make it would be a disappointment. And if you get into a close game late, those thoughts of a disappointing season and the collapse might start to show up. I still like Paul George though tonight, and I think they'll get it done.
Yeah, speaking of, like, you know, expectations and all that, that's the changing of the culture, changing of the guard in the Clippers organization, I personally think, because Clipper Nation hasn't been one of those organizations where they're like, you know what, we have to make the playoffs every single year. We have to be, you know, in contention for a ring every single year. And now they're changing their tone right now. So you're right. Bringing Paul George and Norman Powell back has definitely shown that. So, I mean, here's hoping. I'm still going to stick with my 4-point cover. I'm still sticking with it and them to win.
By the way, the funniest thing is one of the few bets that I've won against Jihei was that I had confidence last year that they were going to get to the Western Conference Finals. Jihei, you know, listen, to her credit, being a longtime Clippers fan, says, we are never going to get past the second round of the playoffs. That's not what we do. So the one big win that I got against her when I won my bottle of Camus was picking the Clippers to get back to the Western Conference Finals. They will not get that far this year, of course.
I was actually going to ask you, did you enjoy that bottle yet?
It was the best bottle. Best bottle.
I'm sure it was, because, I mean, any time that you can just pop that open. First of all, you're drinking Camus. Second of all, you're drinking something that you won. So I'm sure it was amazing. On the flip side, the Clippers have won 5 straight and 6 of 7 and closed out the season with the biggest blowout win of the season, a 138-88 dismantling the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Clippers got Paul George and Norman Powell back before the end of the season and could get Kawhi back in the postseason. How dangerous is this Clippers team?
They can be dangerous, but it is a it's one of those things that they need to get Kawhi back. And if they don't get Kawhi back, then listen, Buckets, we talked about this. I am waiting at some point to get the injury report, and Kawhi is questionable, you know, and he's not. So he's not playing tonight, but what happens? What do you think happens if they get Kawhi back?
I think that they're the best team in the NBA, and it's going to take a huge adjustment period. The thing that I'm most curious, if he does come back, is how that affects Paul George, because it sounds like Paul George is ready to take this team and be the leader of the team. And then you have Kawhi Leonard, who is arguably the best player in the world. I don't know how that would work in terms of who's the number one option. And I think that that kind of stuff matters in a playoff setting, is who is the number one versus the number two. Paul George is in rhythm right now, and adding a guy that hasn't played in a year, it would be interesting to see for me if Kawhi would accept like a number two role, just for the time being, until he gets his rhythm.
Yeah.
And then next season takes back the number one role on the team.
Yeah,
I mean, it would be great. I'm not seeing it happening, but it would be great, because Kawhi is always on Kawhi time, right? So if it happens, it happens. And it would definitely push them forward,
yeah.
Right? It would make it so that they would. I'd lose another
at
bottle
this
of Camus.
Point, though, I'm a little less confident, because this is a playoff game. They win, they advance, they lose, they go home. So if Kawhi was in position to come back, it would be tonight. But he's not back.
Yeah, no, definitely. I wish he would come back, but that's just, I just don't see that as feasible. Well, the Clippers season could be over tonight, and the Kings season could be over soon if they don't turn things around after the Vegas Golden Knights 6-1 win over the Calgary Flames last night. They are just 1 point away from tying the Kings in the standings. Vegas has won 7 of their last 9 games, while the Kings have lost 6 of their last 9 games. How confident are you that the Kings will make the playoffs with just 6 games left in their season?
I'm not that confident. I'm just not that confident anymore in this team, and I am so bummed, because I was so excited for us to see Kings playoff hockey. We have not had that in a few years. Kayla, who joins us on Wednesdays, she has been the in-arena host for the Kings. She has not been to a Kings playoff game. They've not made the playoffs since she's been there. So, was hoping to see that, but 6 games left. They are going in the opposite direction. Again, like you mentioned, G-Hay, they have lost, 6 of 9, and just this team is going in the wrong direction, and at the worst possible times, because just 6 games left in the season, they can't flip it. Unfortunately, I think momentum's going in the wrong direction, and not only are they sliding, it's one thing for you to slide. The worst thing is happening. Vegas is on a run now, and Vegas can sense it, and Vegas can smell it. Vegas will make it to the postseason. And listen, I do not want to be right, but the way that I'm looking at the Kings playing right now, not only are they losing some of these games, they're getting blown out. So, not confident, and I, in fact, if I were to wager, I would bet that the Vegas Golden Knights make the postseason.
Yeah, this isn't looking so great as you look at their games. You would think, though, that, you know, at least half of these are no-brainers, right? The Kraken, they play the Ducks as well at home and in Anaheim. I don't know. I just don't see that they play the Avalanche and got whooped on, man. Whooped on. Yeah, it's not looking so good. But you know what? Stranger things have happened in hockey.
100%. So. And if they just make the playoffs, I think that they could go on a run because they did that in 2012. People forget when they won their first cup, they got in on the last day of the season as the eighth seed. And with hockey, what's so different about that sport, if your goalie is on fire, and we'll see how, you know, they play if they make it to the postseason. If your goalie somehow is just unstoppable, you have a chance to make a heck of a run. But things are going in the wrong direction right
now for the
Kings.
Have they been switching Quick in and out?
A little bit, yeah. And so that's the, Quick is at the end of his career. And I mean, so many of these games where they've been smoked. I mean, I've seen Quick give up 6 goals. And I'm like, geez Louise. I mean, a guy who will be forever remembered as the reason, or one of the big reasons that the Kings won their cups. And so it is a special time in Los Angeles when the Kings can make it into the postseason. It is extremely loud. I will put that up there right with the Shaq Kobe years when the Kings were in the Stanley Cup final. I just want to see them back in the playoffs. So hopefully they reverse the slide, but man, this is a heck of a slide that they are on right now.
Well, today is a momentous, wonderful day, Arash. Not only is it Friday, but it is Jackie Robinson Day. And members of the Robinson family, including Jackie's wife, who I still can't believe is still kicking. I love her for that. Rachel and his son, David, are scheduled to be in attendance. Tonight's Dodgers-Reds game at Dodger Stadium will air exclusively on Apple TV. What are your thoughts on the game being only made available on a streaming service?
You know, this is the future, guys. Thursday Night Football is on a streaming service. Friday Night Baseball is on a streaming service. A lot of sports that we are accustomed to seeing on traditional sports TV are on streaming service. GA, I think this is more of a question for our friend Armani Buckets, because we grew up in a time period where you needed cable or satellite to watch your favorite teams play. And having taught at USC, so I was amazed that so many of those kids were the beginning of a cord cutter generation where if a game is on Channel 11, that is harder for them to find than if it's on Hulu. So, Buckets, your thoughts again. I mean, the only way you can watch tonight's game is if you have a streaming service.
So I'm actually like you guys in terms of cable and that way of watching games. But I know that a lot of my peers, when I went to school, they pretty much exclusively were using streaming services. And I don't understand it, because sometimes it feels like that really cuts into how many people can watch the game. Yeah. Because I feel like, especially in a sport like baseball, where I would guess that the average age is probably around 40, most of those people I would feel like are either getting into streaming now or not into streaming. So I don't think that that's necessarily a great thing for like the Dodgers, but you know, I feel like the Dodgers had an issue a few years ago with trying to broadcast their games as well. So I don't know if that was...
Yeah, they were exclusively on Time Warner for a very, very, very long time.
And it was hard because they were not on DirecTV. That was a time when Spectrum was only on a few, you know, I mean, it was really hard for people to watch the games.
Yeah, it was only specifically on like, it's like being on the Yes Network and only watching Yankee games on the Yes Network. Like, you can only, you know, have that available to you. I mean, personally for me, I get it. This is the way of the future. And even reality shows are only streaming on Peacock versus, you know, on actual Bravo. So I get it. I understand that this is eventually where we're all headed. I still don't like it because it's live television.
Yeah.
It's live TV. Like, yeah, I get the streaming part, but not the live TV stuff.
The people that we have to think about is the old school Dodger fan who's like, wait, I always watch. They just got used to the fact that they have to get Spectrum. You know, for years and years and years, they could watch them on, you know, Channel 13 or 5 or whatnot. Now they have to, they're like, what the heck? I got to get a Roku, Fire Stick, right. Apple TV. Like, what the heck is that?
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate.
Yeah, no, I was definitely going to bring up the fact that, you know, you, and also you have the older crowd as well.
Oh, for
that are
sure.
Because baseball is not a young sport. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah.
Baseball is not a young sport. There is like, you know, my 7-year-old granny out there like wanting to watch, you know, baseball on regular television, on Fox, on ABC, whatever. So they're definitely not on that streaming network.
Yeah.
Well, the $518,000 sale of the ball game used in the now unretired Tom Brady's final touchdown pass has been voided by mutual agreement. The football was sold 40 days after he first announced his retirement and less than 24 hours after the auction closed. How long should you wait before you buy someone's last anything?
It's a good question. It should be at least a year. I mean, so first of all, this guy was probably, I mean, so nervous. He had just paid over $500,000 for the last touchdown that Tom Brady threw. And literally the next day, Tom Brady comes out of retirement and you know he's going to throw another 10, 15, 20 touchdowns. You got to wait at least a year, bro. I mean, the guy retired a month ago. And players come back. I know he's old. I know he'll be 45 years old this upcoming season, but you gotta wait a little bit before you purchase his last whatever. Players come back.
But the sad part about this is that when back in the day, when you retired, you retired. You weren't like, hey, let me come back in a month.
What about Michael Jordan or Magic Johnson?
Yeah, but he didn't come back in a month.
No, I guess that's what I'm saying. It's like you can come. That's a good point. So maybe don't even wait just a year. But I'm just saying, back in the day, if you retired, it didn't mean that you totally retired. You can come back. We've never seen something this crazy, though, I don't think, in terms of coming back 1 month later.
Yeah. What was Brett Favre? It was close.
It was like at least a little bit of the offseason because he retired once the season was done. And then I remembered he tried to come back during the summer right before camp.
That one, yeah.
At least that was a couple months. But yeah, I think GA's right. I mean, listen, to respond to your question, I think you got to wait a couple of years maybe. Maybe one, two. It's hard to come back when you're gone for multiple years. But I mean, 30 days? I mean, you know, give it a rest. I mean, the number of commemorative magazines that came out, the number of, you know, TV specials that came out. I'm happy for this guy, though. I mean, like, if you paid over $500,000 for Tom Brady's last touchdown ball, you should get that ball. I mean, but it's crazy that was the price, but like you should get that ball or at least get a certificate that whenever that touchdown does happen, you will get that. So at least that was voided. The good thing for him is that he came back like the next day. So he did not have the ability at that point to transfer the funds. So he was like, oh, hold up. Before I give you $518,000, I want to make sure that this is really genuinely Tom Brady's last touchdown ball. All right, let's leave it there for now. I saw this man last night at Dodger Stadium. We will be joined by my good friend Michael Duarte from KNBC4 in Los Angeles when we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 in Los Angeles in Southern California and The Fan in Las Vegas.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still clown with the underground
when we come around. Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California and 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas and the Sports Map Radio Network. Now we are joined by my good friend, as we are each and every Friday on the Circus Sports Guest Hotline, Michael Duarte from KNBC4 in Los Angeles. Michael, how are you doing?
Arash. Good. Do me a favor on this segment. If I am throwing a perfect game by the end of it, do not pull me with my
I may have to do that. You're having the best segment ever. And I'm Michael. You're good. We got a long season ahead of us. Okay, you know what? Let's start there because you brought it up. I was going to talk about the game last night, but we do have to talk about that game. Clayton Kershaw, 7 perfect innings. It's the first start of the season, Michael. We had a short spring training. Kershaw hasn't picked up a baseball since January. You're watching that game play out. Kershaw's pitching a gem, a perfect game. Could have been only the 23rd or 24th time in the history of Major League Baseball. First of his career. Your thoughts when you see Dave Roberts go into the mound?
Yeah, we've talked about this before. You know, inevitable that barks the cat that walks by the window. If Roberts would come out and pull him, I knew fans would be outraged about this. I knew Clayton Kershaw would probably be somewhere towing the line in his post-game comments. And you know what was interesting was, you know, nobody thinks a couple things first and foremost, I spoke to his catcher that game, his personal catcher, as people like to refer him, Austin Barnes. I spoke to Austin Barnes on Thursday night after the Dodgers home opener, and he was so disappointed to get to catch a perfect game. He understood it was the right decision, just as Clayton Kershaw's been saying it's the right decision. Just as most people who understand baseball and the circumstances you mentioned, because of the lockout, he can pick January. Because 6 months ago he had shoulder and bicep problems and had to miss the postseason entirely. Because he had bone pitches in a sim game, let alone a real game, most people knew, especially at his age, and the fact that he came back to win a World wasn't going to finish that game. But, I mean, perfect game through seven in 80 pitches, that's like the perfect rose at the Rose Garden outside of the Coliseum that you and I have walked by, Arash. Yeah. It was warm, it smelled fragrant, it was absolutely efficient and beautiful, and the argument is he could have gone back out there and gone hitter to hitter and seen what happened, but of course, if you know he's not going to go pitches, if you're not going to let him go that long, then you make that decision when Dave Roberts did, and that was the right time, in my opinion. The Dodgers put up so many runs to put that game out of reach. Things I want to say, though. One is we should not normalize as fans pitchers being pulled when they're in the middle of potential greatness.
Yeah.
It happened in the games of the season with the Padres. Fish had a no-hitter through six innings, I believe. Sean Manaea, their new acquisition from the A's, had a no-hitter in the second game of the season, and they got pulled, and we're now starting to normalize in baseball getting pulled when you have perfection and history and some sort of milestone like this on the line. I don't think we should get used to normalizing it, but I think it's, each situation is unique. Take that into consideration. The last thing I'll say, Arash, people forget this, fans forget this. September 15th last year, Max Scherzer, one of the Dodgers' newest trade acquisitions at the time, had a perfect game going, had a no-hitter with one out in the inning. He was at 92 pitches. Dave Roberts let him keep going in that situation. And we all wanted to see Max Scherzer keep going. And I'm sure Max Scherzer has for Dave Roberts about if you take me out of this game. But obviously, he gives up that double to Eric Hosmer to end the no-hitter. He comes out of the game. He wasn't available in the postseason. And we can't in the postseason, especially in that NLCS after he had arm fatigue. He wasn't available for with the Dodgers season on the line when he should have been. So we don't know what happens down the road, but as Clayton Kershaw pointed out, sometimes those decisions have consequences down the line, so you have to play it with caution for all the reasons you mentioned.
Well, talk about Clayton Kershaw, just his demeanor. It seemed like a different Kershaw. I mean, we know how competitive and how aggressive and in the zone Kershaw is. I mean, I saw him smiling in the dugout. I saw him very understanding post-game to the situation. It does seem like, again, we're only a few games into the season, but sometimes players have this clarity when they're like at the twilight of their career. This could be his last season. Do you sense a different Clayton Kershaw?
No, to be honest, not so much yet. A different Clayton Kershaw in the sense that he's older, he's wiser, he's a four. I don't know entirely. It seems like he just had more time to reflect. He doesn't take his losses as harsh as he used to. Guy who's still, you know, he demands perfection and success from him. And so the reason why he was all smiles and happy, and this has kind of always been the case, when he's pitching well, he is happy. He is, you know, in his post-game comments, more gracious. And when he goes out there and gets shelled, he tends to wear his heart on his sleeve sometimes, and he's not great in his post-game comments after a loss or after he gets beat up and things aren't working. And he does take personal responsibility and accountability when those things happen. But that Kershaw had been 25 years old in the prime of his career, and Dave Roberts, and he was built up, even if he had maybe one more start ahead of that game, and he the game with 80 pitches into the eighth inning, and Dave Roberts pulls him, really upset by that. You would have seen the cameras catching him very angry and having words with Dave Roberts. So I think the time for him and the age and maturity and the growth he's come through the course of his career, and let's be honest with him, you know, that perfect game, he 95, 96 mile per hour gas with his fastball. He's mixing up a slider that was breaking deep in the count, especially on those right-handed hitters. It was looking great. His curveball, which people thought was his best pitch 10 years ago, was his third best pitch in that game on Wednesday. And he was thrown in this changeup, his new pitch, which is going to be interesting to see how he uses that. So this is an example of how he's changed with time and with wisdom over the years. He can't just rear back and throw 90 as a different pitcher. But his demeanor, to your mention, I don't think so as much. I still think we're going to see throughout the season he's happy after wins and very upset and doesn't want to talk after loss.
So the game last night, the first game at Dodger Stadium of the season, the very cool moment where Freddie Freeman gets the Freddie chant. The Dodgers come up big in the bottom of the eighth with six runs. Your thoughts on the game last night? Again, Freeman talked about how surreal that moment was. Your just thoughts on the game.
Yeah, Rosh, you know, one of the best parts about being in Los Angeles when the winter finally gives way to spring, and we go through those gates at Dodger Stadium and can smell Dodger dogs hit the grill and the smell of fresh cut grass and the Jackie Robinson jerseys around the stadium that I know you saw. That's when we know baseball is back. And each and every year we get to see a little bit of new faces at Dodger Stadium, right? Especially for Dodgers opening day. And that's always exciting. We get to see all the old familiar faces, like we mentioned with Kershaw and Justin Turner and Walker Buehler, who started. But it was the new guys making their Dodgers opening day debut at Dodger Stadium. Trey Turner had a couple hits and an RBI and scored two runs. And then Freddie Freeman, the hometown kid, as you mentioned, that Dodgers fans saw beat their team time after time with the Braves over the years, including in the NLCS last season, to get to see him in a Dodgers uniform, to get to see his family, his father, his grandfather. He didn't even know how many ticket requests he had for the game. That was how many he had. He said his wife had to take care of all of it because there were so many. So he couldn't even pinpoint a number, 20, 30, 40, 50 more that were in that stadium watching him. But I'll tell you, in that eighth inning when he hit that leadoff double and the Reds made a pitching change and the entirety of the 52,995 fans slowly rose to their feet and began to chant, Freddie, Freddie. Now, Arash, I know you've had your name chanted like that by massive crowds before. But I myself have not, and even Freddie admitted after the game he has not after only hitting a double. But he said he got chills. Cody Bellinger said he got chills. Dave Roberts said he got chills. I almost got chills watching it live and take off his helmet and tip his cap and wave to the fans after getting a standing ovation like that. I just thought it was amazing. And just an example of Dodger fans and how savvy baseball they are and how loyal and happy they are when guys come home and, you know, choose the Dodgers in free agency. That's why guys like to come here.
Yeah. So, Michael, you walked around the park pregame. There's some new activations. The press room was slightly remodeled. It looks a little different. Not that fans care about that. What were your thoughts on the stadium? Again, I mean, the big change was a couple of years ago, you know, right before the pandemic and the outfield. But what were your thoughts on anything new around the park?
New things, obviously, you mentioned the press box, which got bigger, cleaner. Women's restroom, which has four stalls for them compared to the one they had previously. So I think those are all great things. As I walked around the park, the biggest change to me was inflation has now reached Chavez Ravine. The price of Dodger dogs, of garlic fries, of teriyaki bowls, of tacos and coffee at Dunkin' Donuts, and even California Pizza Kitchen pizza, all gone up, wow. Sometimes as much as 40%. So, you know, we're paying for that Trevor Bauer salary at the Dodgers. And we're paying for that Freddie Freeman salary that given that six-year deal by the Dodgers. We're paying for the lost revenue in 2020 as far as things like that. So fans, beware. Prices have risen again. I'm sure that means ticket prices have risen. And they're trying to squeeze every last dollar and dime from the stadium that they can. You know, I went over to the stadium club, Arash. I'm not sure if you were able to do that this time. And remember the seats that you could seat kind of on the ledge?
Oh, yeah.
Right there by the right field foul pole, so you could kind of watch the were enjoying a drink or having your buffet dinner. Those seats are now for sale as boxes, minimum box of 12. You can rent out the entirety of that whole section if you have a group of 80 or more. for the stadium club to have dinner, you are no longer allowed access to that area to sit anymore. That is now your game that you have to buy separately, and they're very expensive. So they're trying to monetize as much as they can. That's the, one of the most things that stood out to me as I walked around the stadium. But out there in the center field plaza, if you haven't been to Dodger Stadium this season yet, go check it out. Built in 75th anniversary of Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier in baseball, Arash. And, you know, it's even more poignant with, you know, with the loss of Chadwick Boseman a couple of years ago, who played Jackie Robinson, a movie, and was a big Dodgers fan and came out to game. So out in the center field plaza, they have a, almost like a little museum. It's kind of like a pop, and it is dedicated to the Negro Leagues, and they call it Breaking Barriers. It's dedicated to not just Jackie Robinson, broke the color barrier, but the players that came from the Negro Leagues after him, who broke the color barrier on other organizations as well, like the former Cleveland Indians, now Guardians, the Washington Nationals, the San Francisco Giants, teams that, that also brought black players from the Negro Leagues, also breaking those barriers. So I recommend go out there and check out that exhibit. It's going to be there until the All-Star game, so the middle of July. So go check that out. It's also pictures and video on my Instagram.
Nice. Michael, tonight's game, it is Jackie Robinson Day. Jackie's wife will be there. Jackie's son will be there. Very emotional night. It is on a streaming service on Apple TV. This does seem to maybe be the trend in professional sports. What are your thoughts on that? And have you heard any blowback from fans saying, hey, listen, I just got used to watching them on Spectrum Sportsnet. Now I got to get this service. What the heck is going on?
Absolutely. There's blowback by fans. And I'm also assuming that there's a lot of older fans that are just as frustrated by this as well. And one of the biggest reasons for that, you know, is they don't know how to stream certain things. I know my parents, I don't know about your parents, Rock, but my parents, they certainly don't know how to stream things right now as easily and readily. And for the younger people, though, I think where the game is headed, as you mentioned, obviously the NFL now has a deal with Amazon Prime and went out and got Kirk Herbstreit and put some money into that. But I will say this, Arash. Last Friday, the Apple TV debuted their Friday night game of the week, and I believe it was Nationals-Mets, and Scherzer was pitching, and it was a little bit of rain in that game back and forth. I watched it on Apple TV. I thought they did a great job with that broadcast. Some new things we haven't seen before, like hit probabilities, RBI probabilities while they're at the plate. A little more new age analytics going on for some of the fans. I thought the way they televised it and broadcast it was actually kind of cool. And so that's something that I'm actually excited about too. And it puts more eyes on the game, more younger eyes. And this goes back to our conversation about Clayton Kershaw, his perfect game. You have to feel bad fans there who did try. There was a lot of fans, Dodgers, travel to Minnesota for that series just because it was a stadium they wanted to check off their list. And for those fans that didn't get to watch a perfect game live, you feel bad for them, especially when after this lockout, the game is trying to ingratiate itself with fans again and get them back in the seats. So from that aspect of it, I think it is going to bring new eyes to baseball that are streaming stuff, that are watching Apple TV. Watch Magic Johnson's four-part documentary right after, right? So I think it's good for the game. I think it's going to help the game. I think it gets different servicing on it. But yeah, you're talking about a team who couldn't watch the Dodgers for a long time, and now Jackie say they have to have Apple TV Plus to be able to watch it. But I encourage people to do it because I really like the way that Apple TV did the broadcast.
Michael, you cover all the popular teams in Los Angeles, the Lakers, the Dodgers, the Rams. The Rams won the Super Bowl. The Dodgers are the favorites this year to win the World Series. The Lakers coming into this season were the favorites as well, and we know how that all played out. To put a bow on the Lakers season, you covered their last availability with the media. Just your thoughts on that availability, how the season played out, and what this team has to do to once again be championship contenders next season.
Great question, Arash. And, you know, just speaking on the Rams real quick, we're going to have this Lombardi Trophy tour. You and I.
That's right.
2,000 miles from Southern California all the way to Mexico. So whether you're, you know, in Sacramento County, in Santa Barbara, in Orange County, or down in San Diego, and you're a fan of the Rams, you'll get to see the Lombardi Trophy on tour here soon. But, gosh, this Lakers team. You know, we were talking about this. This is airing Friday, and the Clippers are playing the Pelicans for the right for that number 8 seed. This was supposed to be the Lakers. Remember, we were hoping that they would get it together enough to get into that play-in game and be playing the Clippers in this game, which I think would be great for television ratings, great for Los Angeles, and then, of course, either team would probably go get their butt swept by the sun. But this is what we wanted to see, and the Lakers disappointed us. And one thing I took away from exit interviews that you talked about Tuesday was poor Russell Westbrook now saying that he was the victim in this thing, that he didn't get a fair chance to miss as many shots as he did, to bank as many jump shots off the back of the rim or the backboard as he did. And he was mistreated by the fans, and he was picked on by Frank Vogel, and he had no clue why Frank Vogel had an issue with him and why they didn't connect. And he's the first head coach he's ever butted heads with and not gotten along with. There's reports that he butted heads with David Fizdale in a video session reviewing tape of his game and some of the ill-advised shots and turnovers he was making. When you talk to LeBron James and Anthony Davis, they took accountability for what wrong. LeBron James took accountability for players not meshing well. Anthony Davis took accountability for being unavailable and being hurt and missing large stints of time. And Westbrook blamed everybody he could, not including himself. And one of the biggest things I took away was when Russell Westbrook was asked, was this a disappointing season by his standards? He said his standards are all that matter, and that he averaged a triple-double last season with Washington. So if he didn't average a triple-double this year, then this season would be a disappointment by his standards. And that just everything you know about Russell Westbrook. He wasn't the team the way these other players were talking about this in the exit interview. It was about him. And I think we saw that throughout the season. And even though Russell Westbrook tried to say he was the one who had to sacrifice more than anything on the court in his game, it didn't really seem like that's what he was doing and that he acquiesced to the superstars around him in LeBron and AD, even when they were on the court together for those limited 20. So my takeaway from that was not blaming everybody but himself, not taking any responsibility, and making himself the victim in this story of the Lakers' disappointing season. And that's frustrating me. And what the Lakers are going to do with him, I'm not sure. They have a few options, but I think you got to move on from him this offseason.
Michael, last one for you. What was it like to be back in the clubhouse? It does things seem like things are getting back to normal. Clubhouses are open. The National Football League says locker rooms will be open. I'm assuming next season the NBA hockey will follow suit. What was it like last night? Last 60 seconds for you, my friend. What was it like to be back in the clubhouse?
Yeah, Raj, I didn't know what to do with my... It was almost like a kid the first day of school. I was like, where do I go when the game ends? I don't stay in my seat and go on a Zoom. I actually have to grab my microphone and go back into locker. As we talked about, this was the reason why we cover sports, to have access to these players, to build friendships, to build relationships. And we do that by just to them and being in the locker room with them and knowing them in their times of victory and exultation and also in defeat. So that is how we build these relationships. And I'm so glad we're back in there. The NBA, of course, didn't allow us locker room access this year. And a lot of fans pointed that out to me on social media, that they're surprised that the MLB allowed us back in. But of course we did. We still have to wear masks, so there's a little non-normalcy to it. But I am so glad to be back in the and get to talk to these guys again. I don't think they are, though, especially Josh. Thank you for letting me throw this.
Of course. Game. You are the best, Michael. That's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again on Monday. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Hustle for the cash, so it's hard to knock it. Everybody got their
own thing. Currency chasing worldwide through the hard times. If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths, and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used, because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.